mellow, so satisfying, so fully packed. And here he is, walking out on the stage now, cackling feverishly. And yes, tonight's a little effort there, since it's coming as it is on the weekend almost here. Oh, God, the excitement is already beginning to pulse throughout the world. The national pulse is beginning to build up. The Christmas buying orgy is approaching rapidly like a gigantic avalanche which is getting out of control. It's coming closer and closer. It's beginning to roll downhill. No, thank you. That's good. Oh, my God, it hit me. Just got hit by the avalanche. That's me. You know, you get hit by an avalanche, you know, I will have a bad knee for weeks. I won the other one anyway, Herb. Just as well. Hey, listen, you know, speaking of... Well, it's a very serious program tonight. We, you know, as an artist, we find that from time to time we have to... We have to put it on the record. An artist's purpose, of course, in life is to record his time and to enshrine his times in the entire panoply of all time. Right? I mean, after all, Homer wrote about a lot of wars you don't give a damn about. But he put them down, and people keep struggling over them in school. I remember reading Julius Caesar in school. Oh, what a drag, Rooney. But nevertheless, I have never forgotten it. The fall of Queens, the rise and fall of the Bronx. You see, there must be some Edward Gibbon, right, who was writing. You know, it's not easy to write about the rise and fall of anything because people get very mad when you say that, you know. What do you mean, falling? It's getting better. We got all them pornies now. Well, of course, that's something else, you know. The people who are in a declining civilization never realize they're in a declining civilization. As a matter of fact, they generally believe that they're in a civilization that has last come to its senses. Well, sure. Those Romans laying around out there by the swimming pool yelling and hollering, the Danubian handmaid dropping grapes in her mouth, you know, the orgy swinging from the chandeliers and all that stuff, they thought, you know, ah, forsooth, Atticus. Indeed, they... Atticus. Yeah, it's a funny thing happened to me on the way to Macy's. But while we're on the subject of, well, that's our forum of the day. You kind of like this. Chapman's getting unbelievably alliterative, isn't he? Alluding to all kinds of literary hang-ups. But tonight is a special thing. You give me that biggie there. Tonight is a special... As a special project of our vast, all-seeing, totally concerned public service department here at this dynamic avenue of media entertainment and information and news, we bring you tonight's salute to the world. The world. Yes. Come on, cut out with the timpanis, you guys. The world of the commercial. By the way, poor old Richard Strauss never realized that he was writing the theme for at least 12,000 cheap commercials. How many times have you seen an electric shaver coming out of a dark background like it's spinning out of the cosmos? And thus spake Zarathustra. A lot of guys think this is called 2001. It was written by Stanley Kubrick. There, Herb. Thank you. The reason I selected that is that piece of music must be on at least 500 commercials. You hear? Yeah, how many of them? I'll give you a brass fig, McGee, if you can count the numbers of commercials. In fact, there's at least three running now, right now, this minute, that is on. And I would like to tonight salute, love to salute the commercials. And any of the kids who are listening tonight, and there are, you know, this is a Friday night, so there's a lot of them. Any kid, if you just talk to the kid that's nearest you, I mean, you know, kick him out from under the coffee table, holler, hey, kid, and ask this kid whether or not he digs commercials. And tell him to level with you. You know, he probably doesn't tell you the truth. Because if he comes from the kind of house, you know, where they read The Nation, and they read commentary, and they sit around and watch Channel 13, all day, they don't want to admit this. It's very difficult to admit that you like the commercial. But secretly, deep down within the soul of each one of us lies a grasping consumer. I hate to admit it. I am the first to say that I am anti that. I wish it were not so. I wish it were not so. But it nevertheless does not alter the fact. And I would like to report tonight that as a student of the commercial, I have noticed a new trend among commercials, a curious religious trend. A trend of religiosity related to the product itself. And there is a whole new group of commercials around now that show ladies, and it's almost all ladies, saying things like, I admit that I made a mistake when I tried Brand X. And I've been using it for some time now. And then one day, just on a whim, I went back to my good old brand. And now I would never again leave. And they raised their hand. Have you seen that one? It's like backsliders. You know, it's like religious backsliders making confession before the bar of God himself. Oh, God, please, please forgive me, for I have sinned. I have sinned in many ways, God, and I have slipped from the true church. I have gone astray, but God, please accept me back into the fold. I promise never, never again to stray, ever. Never again shall I stray from Rice Krispies. I'll admit, Count Dracula got me for a while. I'll admit that I even, for a while, ate Fruit Loops every morning. But now I see the error of my ways. And oh, great God of Rice Krispies, I shall not stray again. Yeah, very good. And you'll notice that even the biggest of the monster cars that are being advertised on television all promote the idea that they save gas. You've seen that. In fact, I saw one night before last, a big, gigantic, with an enormous chrome grill, 752 horsepower, automatic transmission, automatic trunk operations, automatic windows going up and down, air conditioner, the whole bit. And the guy says, walking around, he's patting the hood. He says, you know, today's folks demand a lot more than just comfort. He gets it again. Today, that shows, you know, he's kind of really with it. Hey, yes, sir. Today's folks demand a lot more than magnificent, fantastic Roman, Greek, and fantastic Doric styling. They demand a lot more than that. Today's folks are people who demand economy. They demand fine workmanship. And here's a car that will give you economy. Of course, they never tell you what it means. It saves you gas. What they say, what they really mean, is it uses less gas than a Tiger tank. Or possibly a patent tank. That is a patent tank firing all 88s at the same time. So, you know, I kind of like this. And there's another kind of commercial that I've noticed that's very interesting now. There's the commercial of what you might call poverty. It's an interesting commercial. There are apparently people who live exclusively today, and they look like sort of middle-class people. It surprises me. They live exclusively on hamburger. And so there are 50 products that make hamburger Italiano or Ruski. Or have you seen that crowd? Night after night, they eat hamburgers, and this lady mixes this stuff with it. And whatever the stuff is, it makes it into a festive occasion. And so you see, always see Daddy over there, big gommy Daddy. He says, say, honey, this is really good. And she says, well, yes, you would be surprised what it is. And he says, well, gee, it's really good, just like real Italian cooking. And, of course, it's hamburger again. And have you noticed, though, that the poverty of that type of commercial, people living on fake hamburger dishes, which are very, very prevalent, is counteracted by the apparent total affluence that the animal world is now enjoying. Yes. As a matter of fact, I saw one commercial where they had 37 different types of cat food, each in its special French sauce and its special Italian gravy, all lined up. Apparently, the cats are eating, they're eating beef stroganoff. And when they're tired of beef stroganoff, they move over a little bit to the left and they have filet of sole, amandine. And they move a little bit further on down the line. You know, I kind of like this. It's a So apparently, while the human world is feeling the pinch, the animal world is living on top of a gigantic fat gravy meatball, and making it big. So I kind of, you can get the pulse of your time watching the commercials. And is there one among you tonight? Oh, speaking of commercials, what is your favorite one currently, right now? I know Jerry doesn't have any. He never watches them. What's your favorite one? I mean, one that gets you. I'll tell you, I have to admit it. I'm sucked in by those two little chicks. There's about seven of them that do it. Two girls in each one. You know the one? Double mint, double mint, double mint, double mint. They come out with the banjos. Oh, yeah. I kind of dig that. I don't know what there is about it. This is a curious little... And also, there's one other commercial that I invariably like. It's the one where the band comes out and all these pom-pom girls. And again, they're carrying great big, gigantic packages of gum. That's the commercial. You know, I suppose a lot of people who don't live in New York know that this size of gum has been test-marketed in this market. I saw a lady the other day trying to get her package of gum into a crosstown bus. And, kind of messy. But she got it in there, and, of course, she had to pay extra fare for the gum. But, sorry. But that's, that big thing. It's kind of nice. But I don't know. You know, when you get deeply involved in commercials, you can't help it on all sides of this. Santa Claus is appearing every 30 seconds now on TV, and he's hawking everything from skid chains to Santa Claus's choice for the clear, yellow-free floor cleaner. I thought that was kind of nice. Santa Claus has his own favorite rug cleaner. You see that one? And, Santa, give your family a wonderful treat this year. Have the rug cleaned. Santa will love it. But, this is a part of our time. Speaking of Santa, this is WOR New York. And, what do we have there? A nice little commercial. We'll lay it on
you. The world's greatest magicians perform at the World Festival of Magic and the Occult. The weirdest show on earth. An unforgettable experience. Bring the whole family. You can hold each other's hands. The World Festival of Magic and the Occult. The weirdest show on earth.
Wednesday, December 12th through Sunday, December 30th at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden Center. For ticket information, call 212-564-4400. Tickets also at Ticketron.
Now, speaking of magic and the occult, we have a question here. Will O.J. do it? Well, I don't know. Some people are hung on orange juice. But you put a little vodka in it, a little bitters, and it'll knock the top of your beezer right off. But anyway, will O.J. do it? No. Well, will he break the NFL all-time rushing record, now held by Jim Brown? Well, this Sunday is O.J.'s last chance to rush 61 yards. I think I could run 61 yards against the Jets this year. I mean, he's a shoe-in, man. 61 yards, you'll get that on a kickoff. Won't you join Larry Grantham and Barbara Sheehan at 12:35 this Sunday afternoon when they talk with O.J. Simpson on WOR's pregame show? And I guess they're not going to televise this. So if you want to know what O.J. did exclusively, 12:35, the Jets. Oh, this has been a bad year for New York football, hasn't it? Oh, wow, the Hessville Eagles. could have done pretty good against both teams playing simultaneously. That's terrible. You know, for a really big league city, we have got some of the worst minor league teams in the world here, you know? Really sad. Oh, well, you know, 6-1 happened. Maybe that shows that we are intellectually superior, though. We can field the great college bowl team, you know. People answering questions on the Punic Wars. I kind of like that kind of thing anyway. But speaking of commercials, I'd like to ask a question here, rhetorical. Have you been recently in a major department store or a major shopping center, like a big food store? Well, if you go into these places and look carefully at what's going on around you, this is where you really see the scene. You will find that large amounts of the purchases that are being made in these stores are being directed by little 7-year-old louts. Indeed, yes, I saw a fantastic fit being thrown by a 7-year-old the other day in graffiti that was right next to a major full-fledged riot. I figured any minute, you know, the guys with the helmets, with the guns that shoot the rubber bullets are going to arrive on the scene, because this kid, his mother apparently, finally had it up to here. And, you know, they were going down. At first I didn't suspect anything, except that I noticed they had 6 shopping carts that was being pushed by everybody in the store except the manager. You know, they're going on. I said, how could this, you know, people eat all this stuff? Well, it turns out that little Clarence, every time they came to something, he said, Mommy, Mommy, I'm out. You know, and so, you know, he saw it on TV. So she'd have to get it. Any kid that does not get what he sees on television is like a real religious person not getting the, the benediction when he goes down to the church. The guy says, oh, no, not you, boy. You're going to have to take a shower before you come in here. We don't give no benedictions to guys that smell like you. So you don't want to be in outer darkness. And a kid's demand for what he sees on TV and what he hears in the commercials approaches almost a religious fervor. To be casted out of darkness is the worst thing that can happen to a kid, or anybody. Anybody. I mean, the great fear that many guys have deep down inside of them of being the only guy in the entire organization that he works for who owns a widget mobile and is the laughing stock of that company because of the time that the cylinder head flew right through the hood and arched over twice and hit Mr. Bullard when he was coming into the parking lot. Now, if it was his Chevy that did that, nobody would laugh. But it was his widget mobile that did it. So the great fear of owning something that nobody else owns is a very, very serious fear. Why do you think people buy all these consumers' magazines? They don't buy them to find out what's best. They want to hear comforting thoughts about the terrible thing they just bought. That's why they buy. It's a justification. Nothing. There's very few feelings as desolating as to buy something, and then 2 days later, some guy says, "You mean to tell me you bought one of them Loud Paisley double transistorized garments?" Oh, my God, no! And you say, yeah, it's really great. You know, I turned it on the other day, and it ran around the floor, and everybody was cheering, and it washed the walls. It went out and started the car for me, went out and mailed 2 letters for me, came back and kissed my foot. It was fantastic. Oh, come on. Did you see consumers' research on Amazon? What do you mean? It's terrible to pick up consumers' research and say, this thing has obvious dangerous point. It has 7,000 volts on the plate. The overload relay is made out of tin foil, and if you touch it twice, it's liable to blow your head off. And they know, in spite of the fact that he loves it, he doesn't want to be told. So this is a serious problem with many people. And I am tonight about to make a confession. Yes, terrible confession. I can remember very clearly. This is not a nostalgic story. Nothing to do with nostalgia. It is a story I have to explain to you. You know, it's terrible. It's like Herman Melville. It has a little preface before his story. So this is not about a whale, people. So it's not. It is about getting sucked in. You know, when you get sucked in and you realize you have been trapped, you have been had, one of the hardest things for anybody to do is to admit it to his peers. Especially since they laughed like hell before you bought it. I mean, I know one guy, I know, right here, I know one guy that bought a car, and I happen to know that car, on a downhill, with a heavy wind behind it, with the motor off, gets roughly 6-7 miles per gallon. He was warned. Now he goes around saying things like, 15, 20 around town. Yeah, out on the road, I maybe do 35, 40, sometimes up to 50. Get out. He's whistling in the dark. You ain't fooling that pump that ticks. No way. And I will tell you a story. When I was a kid, and this is when these things first happened to me. Now, there's many a kid out there who has a terrible yen for something that he saw yesterday afternoon on TV. I'm going to warn you, kid. I'm going to warn you. I'm a kid, see. Well, every morning before I went to school, we had this radio that was up on top of the refrigerator. And the radio was one of these white plastic ones. It's the white plastic one. It had a big round gold dial. When you turned the knob, this dial lit up gold. That is, for the first 5 minutes after we got it. After that, the light was burned out of it, and the dial fell off, and it was hanging like crooked. But it always played. This radio came from the manufacturer, cracked and with a tape around the back of it to hold it together. So we had this. It was called a Knight radio. You ever hear of a Knight? K-N-I-G-H-T. Knight, like with a lance. And we had this great radio called the Night. And radio in the morning is something that everybody listens to. Even now, you know, they call it drive time radio. It's on every morning. Well, every morning, and I'm squatting down there next to the kitchen table eating my oatmeal, this radio would be turned on. Well, at the time, there was a radio show that was put on for kids. At that hour, did you know that they used to have radio shows at like 7:30 in the morning for kids because they knew they were getting them at a very, very sensitive time. You're just about to go struggle in school, and you were very vulnerable, and very. So every morning, this radio show took place apparently on a ranch. It was about a ranch, yeah. And there were two kids who lived on this ranch, Jimmy and Jane, and there was this guy named Tom, Tom X. Had this great horse. What was the horse's name? Comics and his great horse. Don't say Silver. That shows how ignorant you are about true Americana. That's not trivia. That's Americana, friend. And so I'm sitting there every morning with my kid brother. See, Randy, I'm sitting on the other side of the table there. And they had commercials, of course, on this show. So every morning they would come on and they sang the theme song. And the theme song was even the commercial. Jane and Jimmy, too. Won't you try it, too? Yes. Gribble nuts are good for you. Hoo-hoo. And then on would come the old wrangler.
Good morning, boys and girls. We're down here at the old corral. Old Tom, you know, yesterday he was having a lot of trouble with all them rustlers. We're going to join Tom fighting them rustlers in just a few moments. But I'd like to say something now. It's about breakfast time. Jimmy and Jane are in the old ranch house. Yeah, they're sitting down there to that big old table in the cookhouse, and they're enjoying a breakfast of rich, crunchy, nut-like flavored Grubble nuts. And they really love them. Jimmy and Jane, that's how they get all that energy, that driving energy, and they help Tom X go out after them rustlers. By the way, Tom himself eats Grubblenuts every morning when he's going down there to fight him down there at the old corral. And now let's get out there and see what Tom and the Wonder Horse are doing.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here every morning listening to this. And, you know, Jane and Jimmy were eating Grubblenuts. And so was Tom and the Wonder Horse and the old Wrangler. And I'm eating Mother Oats. Rolled Mother Oats. My mother had a thing, you know. Anything that had the name Mother in it seemed like to her a very good product. And so, yes, indeed. So we would get Mother's Rolled Oats every morning for breakfast. Well, you know, after 7 years of eating, after all, I was roughly nine, after 7 years of eating Mother's Rolled Oats every morning, it begins to pall on you a bit. And I was also at the point where I wanted to expand my horizon. Well, the first thing that a kid does when he begins to expand his horizon, he begins to try other things, you see. Instead of always, instead of always sitting down there to a great big bowl of Mother's Oats, I wanted to try Grubblenuts. And at the end of the show, this is when they really got you, on would come the Wrangler again, see. Say, boys and girls, oh, yeah, it's Joe Wrangler here. And boys and girls, I'd like to say this. You have heard old Tom down there riding the Wonder Horse? Well, the wonderful Grubblenuts people have realized that you'd like to have a souvenir of the Wonder Horse himself. And at the same time, have a good luck symbol that will make it easy for you to beat all them bad guys and to get all them Wranglers and all them rustlers in your life. Well, Grubblenuts people are making available now a lucky horseshoe ring made out of an actual horseshoe nail as worn by the Wonder Horse ridden by Tom Hicks himself. All you do is tear off the box top from a box, a family-sized box of wonderful, crunchy, nut-like flavored Grubblenuts, and you send it off to Tom Hicks here at Checkerboard Square, and you'll get your wonderful horseshoe ring that will fit any finger. It'll fit the biggest finger and the littlest finger, and it's guaranteed to bring you good luck because it's got Tom Hicks's TM Bar Ranch right there on it. It's got the old brand right on the top of it. So when you is in trouble, you just show them guys that TM Bar Ranch, and you're home free. And now let's get back to the old corral. We'll see you tomorrow, boys and girls. And have yourself a big bowl of Grubblenuts. And you'll be ready to take them on today. So long, gang. Jane and Jimmy, too. Say it's best for you. Oh, Grubblenuts are the best. Oh, my God. I'm sitting there. Not only does this have a nut-like flavor. Have you noticed that every cereal is described as having a nut-like flavor? And what if they make cereals out of nuts, then? I mean, if you notice, almost every cereal has a nut-like flavor. As if, you know, that's the best flavor in the world, is a nut-like flavor. But they always have a nut-like flavor, crispy and crunchy and delicious. And one morning, they made a comment about Grubblenuts that really got me they started a whole new advertising campaign. Yeah, and that's when they finally get you. This morning, he says, boys and girls, do you know that Grubblenuts is the only cereal that talks back to you? You just pour that cream over the Grubblenuts, and you listen carefully, and they say snap, crackle, pop. They talk right to you. Does the cereal you're eating talk to you every morning, boys and girls? Well, they're talking you right out of the old corral. Yes, sir, Tom Hicks and Jimmy and Jane sit down every morning, and they listen to that snap, crackle, and pop, and it brings the sunshine right into the world for them. And then they're ready to get out there and fight the rustlers. Snap, crackle, pop. Now, my God, not only is the cereal talk to you, it's a snap, crackle, and pop. But if you tear the top off and send it away, you get a horseshoe nail ring that fits any hand. And has Tom Hicks's TM Bar brand right there on the top of it. And, you know, this is extremely subversive in a way, because at no point did my mother obviously realize what was happening. She just had this night. She's always hanging over the sink and doing her thing and getting us ready for school. And we're sitting there listening to this subversive. What he was telling us is you're living like some kind of a second-rate nothing. The real kids are eating gruel nuts. The great dissatisfaction began to settle down between me and my kid brother. Just subtle. And incidentally, I wonder how much of our dissatisfaction is based on TV commercials. Our basic dissatisfaction in life. Because you notice how everything works in TV. I mean, absolutely everything. And you go out and you get that fantastic transistorized slicer and you plug it in and the thing cuts the bottom of your tie right off, runs right up the wall. Next thing you know, it's chopping up your cigars and you try it with a carrot and it won't even cut it. Have you ever tried that? You know, something, it just simply doesn't work for what what it's advertised to be. But you begin to feel that it was your fault. You got a bad one. The real one on TV works. Once again, it has been proven that you are not only inadequate, you are unclean in the basic religious sense, that you are a sinner. And sinners pay for their sins, right, Herb? Well, this went on for a couple of months. You know, we're sitting there listening to this Google Nuts. I'll not even tell you what cereal it was, Google Nuts. I had two great major traumas in my kid life with commercials, and this was the first one. So, one day, we're down at Aschenschlager's supermarket. We're walking around there. My mother took us down, you know. And I remember very distinctly saying, Ma, she says, yeah, Ma, I want some Grubel Nuts. And she says, oh, now, Dad, yeah, I want you to have a hot cereal in the morning when you go off to school. Well, now, the wine is a very effective weapon, a wine. So we went around a couple of rounds, and finally my mother says, well, I'll think about it. So the next day, on came the old Wrangler, and the old Wrangler was even more insistent. Not only was he insistent, there were sly innuendos in the commercial that you should tell your mommy and daddy, as they always called them in the commercial. Yep, boys and girls, tell your mommy and daddy for full, rich, hearty nutrition and for a breakfast to get you off started right to go to school. It's Gruble Nuts, Snap, Crackle, and Pop cereal. That's talk. Well, you know, he's really saying that your old lady doesn't know what the hell she's doing. I mean, you know, talking about the... get you off right for a change, especially when you're living in a mother of family. So one thing led to the next, and one afternoon down at the supermarket, I remember great moments in the supermarket. I remember one time my kid brother throwing a fantastic fit over a certain type of cookie. And you know what kind of a cookie it was? Only certain types of product can engender within the walking around kid enough emotion that he will lay down on the floor and kick his shoes off right in the supermarket. And my kid brother had a fantastic cookie fit that had to do with Nabisco sugar wafers, chocolate covered. You know those little long finger types? He got an unbelievable hang up on those. And did you ever have them? Well, this really got him. And one day, my mother said, it's going to ruin your teeth. You've had enough of those now. And he threw an unbelievable fit, and they were pouring water on him, you know, and reviving him. His face got purple, and his tongue was hanging out. And, of course, he finally got his cookies. And that is until the next day when we went back. And he ate them all up, you know. The next day, he wanted more. And this time... my mother said, you know, the final statement of capital punishment, I'll tell your father. And what's worse, she did. And he showed my kid brother how he used to be a fantastic ping-pong champ and what a backhand he had. That's right. He's some tremendous follow-through. Kid brother bounced three or four times around the wall, you know, making a carom shot. And this was pre-Spock, but I might add that it never hurt my brother's psyche. To this day, you know, he laughs about those cookies. And he mainlines them, too, I might add. But even to this day, he's the only guy I know that has them in every possible way. He has them soaked in bourbon now. And he says they're great. But nevertheless, there I am in the store. And I said to my mother, well, I want some food in that. She said, well, now look. She said, now I want to tell you this. She was a really good child psychologist because she got right down to where it, you know, where it was alive. She said, now I want to tell you this. She says, if you get this cereal, I'll buy it for you. Now remember, she was not a chintzy. She, if you wanted it, you got it. But you had to use it. She says, now, if you get the cereal, you are going to have to eat it. Now, I don't want to, if we buy it, you're going to eat it, right? Oh, yeah, you know, wow. After all, it was full of nutty, crunchy goodness. It was filled with rich nutriments. It was filled with the whole outdoors. And Tom Mix himself ate it every morning. Who the hell could conceive of not eating it if you got it, you know? Jimmy and Jane ate it. The Wonder Horse probably had this for breakfast every morning, you know, after he finished the oats. He gave him a couple of great big nose bags full of Grubel nuts. So I said, oh, yeah, you know, of course I'll eat it. So we bought a box of this stuff. And it looked like any other cereal on the box, but it had a picture on the, which I still remember. I don't know whether they still have it on this cereal. It had a picture on the box of a bowl of this cereal. And incidentally, on the back, they had a picture of Tom Mix. And, you know, he's sitting on his horse. The horse is rearing up, and he's waving his hat, you know. And it says, hiya, fellas and gals. Glad to see you're enjoying Grubel nuts, just like down at the old ranch. See? So, you know, I thought, what the hell? Yeah, there I am. I'm right there in the corral with the rest of the horses and stuff, you know, and ready to enjoy this breakfast. Well, there was a picture of a bowl on the front of it, and the bowl showed this cereal. It showed a blue creamer pitcher. You know, the creamer pitcher is pouring cream into it, and you see little lines coming out of the cereal. And one says snap, the other says crackle, the other one says pop. Well, you know, it was just exactly the way I'd imagine it would be. Well, we took it home, and of course, I want to immediately have this for supper. And my mother says, no, you're not going to sit around and eat this stuff for supper. You're going to have supper like the rest of it. You're going to eat something. She says, no, you're going to have supper. You're going to have this as breakfast food. You're going to have breakfast. I'm not going to have you sitting around eating Milky Ways, you know, for your supper. So I was all excited. I go to bed, and the next morning, on comes Jimmy and Jane and the TM Bar Ranch, and they were playing a song, you know, and it's breakfast time. My mother takes the box out of the cupboard, you know, and she says, well, she says, here's your cereal now, and she opened the box up, and I say, hey, Ma, don't tear the top. Oh, wow, save the top, because I'm going to get I got a ring, a horseshoe ring. And sure enough, there's the old ranger. He says, yeah, boys and girls, fellas and gals, it's the old wrangler. And I'm down here on the TM Bar Ranch now, and I want to say howdy, partners, to all you out there. And have you sat down this morning to a big, nut-like, rich, delicious bowl of this snap, crackle, and pop cereal? Yes, sir, just like Jimmy and Jane had this morning, and Tom himself. And by George, we're having a lot of trouble with them sheep ranchers. You remember yesterday, Tom, after breakfast, after he had the big bowl of Grubel nuts, Tom says, let's go out and get them sheep ranchers and run them off. Well, I'm sitting there all excited. See, so my mother pours this stuff into the bowl. It was the first time I actually saw him. And just a whole pile of little round things that sort of clinked when, you know, a little round. They actually looked a little like rabbit food. I knew about rabbit food because Lawrence Stryker across the street had rabbits, and I would always go over there in the afternoon. We'd mess around and feed the rabbits. And, yeah, he had these great big ones, you know, these big white ones with pink eyes, and had a couple of great big black and white ones. And he kept them in a chicken wire pen that was attached to the garage. And every day he'd go out there and clean the rabbits, and they were sort of raised up off the ground, you know, on the 2x4s. And they would walk around on this chicken wire, and they would eat their rabbit food, which he put in these plastic bowls. And, of course, rabbits being rabbits, they'd stick their nose down in there. And a lot of the rabbit food would fly out and go right through the chicken wire and go down onto the ground. Well, the dogs around there loved it. There was a dog named Corky that would sit under the rabbit pen with his mouth open.
And every time rabbit food put in, he'd just swallow it. And he loved this rabbit food. So we would feed the rabbits every day, and this stuff looked almost like the rabbit food. It's little round pellets, see? It was hard. I somehow had an idea that it would be like sending nuts or something. I don't know what I imagined the cereal to look like. But in my mind, I could see it as sort of the words rich and nut-like did not coincide with little round BBs that were kind of hard. So my mother pours in the milk, and she puts some sugar on. She says, okay. She says, now there's your cereal. Now enjoy it. Well, I waited for about 30 seconds just looking down at the bowl. I said, you know, this is a lifelong ambition. After all, a kid of 9, you can have a lifelong ambition that's only, say, 2 weeks old. Your life isn't that long. So I looked down into this bowl. My kid brother's sitting opposite me. Of course, he didn't eat anyway. He wasn't going to eat any kind of cereal, even if it did go snap, crackle, and pop. And that's what got me. I listened to it. No snap, no crackle, no pop. Just laid there. My mother says, well, come on, eat your breakfast. You know, it's getting late. And I could hear all the while Jimmy and Jane running around, the shots going, and Tom is galloping. So I took my first spoonful of the rich, delicious, nut-like, crispy flavor of Grubel Nuts, the snap, crackle, pop cereal that Tom and Jimmy and Jane and the Wonder Horse himself ate. Tasted like the rabbit food. It tasted like the rabbit food. We used to eat it across the street. As kids, it would eat the rabbit food. It tasted like the rabbit food. Which did not have a rich, delicious, nut-like flavor, but tasted like rabbit food. It was the first time I discovered that I liked Mother's Oats. It was not only cold and clammy, it was like a bunch of little BBs floating around on the top of the milk. Well, you know, it was academic to my brother. He didn't eat the oats. He didn't eat anything. He just sat over there and whined. And his nose running on the table. So I stuck with it. You don't admit it. I ate the whole bowl, see? And my mother says, how did you like it? Fine. Great. It's great. She says, well, good. Now, you're going to eat the whole box. You're going to have this cereal every morning until you finish the box. I'm glad you like it. You're really glad you like it. The next morning, I knew what I was facing. By the end of the fourth day, I hated this stuff. I could not stand it. I couldn't stand this stuff. And the fifth day, which was on a Friday, just like this, my mother gave me the ball. I said, I don't want it. She said, no, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. You pestered me for a week to get you a box of this stuff. Now, you're going to eat it. She says, now, you eat it. She says, now, I told you what would happen. So she said, all right, now. Okay. I'm going to make you some oats now. But I don't want to hear any more in the store about any cereal that goes snap, crackle, and pop. They're going to send you a ring or an atomic energy badge or a secret decoder pin. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. Never admit it. As you know, just 2 weeks ago, I'm out visiting, and I'm having dinner with my mother. My mother walks back from the cupboard. She says, oh, she say, I have a new fresh box of Grubel Nuts here. Would you like some of your favorite cereal that goes snap, crackle, and pop? I said, oh, Ma, for God's sake. She says, I have never forgotten that. She said, it was a great lesson, wasn't it? I said, yeah. She said, yes, until along came that damn Ovaltine. And we had to get you the Ovaltine, and it wouldn't even mix up with the milk, and it made little round brown BBs that floated around at the bottom of the milk and tasted bitter. You remember that one, right? Didn't taste like rich, delicious, malted milk goodness, right? I said, yeah, Ma. And she says, would you like a little more wine? I said, yes. Things have changed, but not much.
So beware, kid. Beware.